Is anyone able to experience unconditional love? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Can anyone ever experience unconditional love? We have many of our students who are in... Now, that doesn't sound good at all. We have a few students who are in prison. Out of our vast number of students, there's very few. But there are maybe 8 or 10 of them. And they're in prison. And they have been, some of them, for life. And some of them for short periods. And some of them who took our courses and did wonderful and learned from it and then got out of prison and we never heard from them again. And that's just fine. Because they're obviously living what they had learned. And that's beautiful. We have one of our one of our people, who is in prison, and he did some terrible things. We don't know what it is, and we don't ask. And so he was in prison, I think for life, isn't it? Yeah, for life. And so, but he has a mother and a father and sister, and they cannot forgive him. They cannot forgive him for what he did, and so they don't support him as a human being. Now, everyone who would have children in prison, whether they are rich or poor, or whether they're the kids were bad, or well, they're my kids. You know, they're the children of these people, and these people, they have no money whatsoever. They live from hand to mouth. And yet they send money to their children who are in prison so that they can have cosmetics, so they can have a bowl of soup now and then, aside from what they get at meals. The meals they get are perfectly adequate, but they want a little uniqueness, and they want to have a television or a radio, or they want art supplies and things like that. And, of course, to us, where it's readily available, we think, well, why should they have that? Well, that's what they don't have, you know, and they would like it, and it's their fun thing. And so, how can we have unconditional love that allows us to work with these people? Now, when we heard about this one individual, we immediately did something about him. His parents were quite wealthy, and his parents had everything they could ask for and were very happy people, and they had many people of relatives in the family, but they ostracized the son because the son had been so terrible. Well, when we heard about it, we said, hey, it's time to love the kid. And so we sent him a donation. We sent him the money that he could have, $50, so he could buy whatever he wanted to buy. And then we also sent him our love and wrote him cheery letters and said, hey, we love you. And we're not interested in any details or any problems you ever had. We just love you as a human being because we love you more really as a divine being. We love the good in you. We love the beauty in you. And so he started writing us letters, and he started saying, you know, we are the first people who ever cared about him since he went to prison many years ago. And we are the first people who ever looked at him with unconditional love, not looking at him as a terribly mean, ugly being, which he may have done, but that's past. Now he is a different person, presumably, and he will never be a different person if somebody doesn't love him. Mm-hmm. So we started loving him, and then about 4 or 5 others who were of a similar situation. And we loved them, and we gave them our best, and some of them misused it. That's understandable, because they are just con artists, and they're running their con there too, and they don't know how to deal with straight people, with people who are honest and forthright and unconditionally loving. But being unconditionally loving, it doesn't bother us. We don't judge them and say, hey, you're terrible, you misused us, we're not going to come through for you again. We don't say things like that. Unconditionally loving beings don't do that. Now, I was talking a few moments ago about how every one of us have areas of our life where we're not unconditionally loving. Like Ellen, she has her children growing up, and she says, Why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? that's a mother who doesn't realize her kid now is 50 years old, you know? He doesn't realize that her children have their own families, their own life, their own world, and if she has not taught them values and things like that when they were at home, you know, before they left home, whatever she thinks now is not going to make any difference. So what she is doing, she is placing each one of those children on the altar. That's where she had them. And then she's going to slay them. But lo and behold, God is going to place a ram in the bushes, and she's going to get the ram out, and the two of them are going to offer the ram as an offering. Now, you say, well, what's that all about? Well, when the father and the son do that, they forget the past. They live in the present, and they say, all is forgiven, all is beautiful. All is wonderful, you see. And when they do that, then all is beautiful, all is forgiven, all is wonderful. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. When we are able to do that, then great miracles take place. But we cannot have miracles in our life until the miracle begins with us first. Are we willing to forgive and forget the past? Forgive and forget how long the future is. They're in there for life! My God, they're for life! You know, oh, how terrible that is! Yes, how terrible for them. Another time that happened, and it happened to all of us. We were born into this world for life. For good or for bad, we were born into this world for life. Think about it. And we were born into this world, and whether we had rich parents or poor parents or healthy parents or sick parents or whatever, it doesn't make any difference. We were born into this life. Now, did we take our share as we were being born of unconditional love and make it ours? Or did we feel pity for ourselves, and did we feel sorry for ourselves that the neighbor kids had better deals than we did? Did we feel sorry for ourselves that this or that didn't happen in our life? You see, that's the same thing. We're born into this life. Now, this kid we're talking about right now, he says life has taken a new turn for him. But you see, now he's experiencing many other people in his life who are having terrible things happening to them, where they're having cancer, and they're having chemotherapy, and they worry him about it, and where people die, and he cannot go and say goodbye, and things like that. You see, it's a tough thing. But now when we surround him with our pure white light of love, and we surround him with our unconditional love, and we tell him, hey, you're a beautiful person. We don't say, you should have been out to do this, you shouldn't have done that. We say, hey, you're a beautiful person. We say, hey, you live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. You're fantastic. You're glorious. And what are we doing when we say that? We are forgetting the past. We're forgetting. And in the process, he will forget the past. Because he will see that we never mention it. My wife used to write me letters occasionally, and she would, in the letters, tell me about her problems. And then she would tell me about one good thing that happened. It's like she bought a new pair of shoes. It fit perfectly. And so I wrote a letter back to her. Oh, that's so wonderful to hear that you bought these new pair of shoes that are so perfectly fitting you, and they're so wonderful. And I made a whole letter out of just that one little item. And I did that for each letter that she wrote. If she had any unhappiness, I didn't respond to it. What's the value of responding to it? You know, all I can do is say, I'm sorry you're unhappy, you know. Why are you unhappy? Because you want to be unhappy. No, I don't say things like that. That's dumb. I say, well, any little thing that she says is nice, I compliment her on. And she said she wanted to buy this book,
Parables.
The Parables of Peanuts, you know. And so I said, hey, that's real cool. I said, I'd very much enjoy reading that. And she says, it costs so much and I'll send it to you. And I said, that's great. I said, that's awfully nice of you. And so she sent it. And I haven't read it yet, just arrived today. But it's a lovely little book about the parables of peanuts. Now, that's very uplifting and very beautiful. Now, you can be sure, when I talk to her on the phone, or when I write to her, do anything, I'll mention the parables of peanuts, and I will tell her about them, because she's reading it herself, too, and enjoying it so thoroughly. But you see, share your joy, share your harmony. Now, when Ellen writes or calls her children in Switzerland, she always finds something beautiful to say to them. Beautiful to say, isn't it wonderful that you have everybody in your world who dearly loves you, that you have so many friends, and isn't it wonderful that your tennis is improving every day, and isn't it wonderful that your five children are all turning out like angels, you know, just absolutely fantastic, glorious, and so, and you, boom, 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 boom. What happens when you do that? That's unconditional love on your part, and you'll have unconditional love on their part, too. But it is necessary for us to do this. Because if we don't do this, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. If we are going to live our life without unconditional love, we might as well die. I mean, what's the value of living a life that doesn't have unconditional love? If you live a life without unconditional love, all you got is feeling sorry for yourself, and all you got is, and nothing works out for you. Nothing is as harmonious for you. Your body is sick all the time. You have all sorts of things. Now, a lot of people can take pills, a lot of people can have sick bodies, but it doesn't bother them. They just go on with their life, go on with their happy thoughts, go on with their happy being. And so, the rain comes down. Isn't that ugly? The rain comes down and I can't go out for a walk in the rain, or I put a raincoat on. How terrible. Well, no, we don't say that. We just accept that as an activity of living on this planet Earth. And so it is with all things that's living on planet Earth here. They're just part of the experience, but with it, we wrap it in unconditional love, and every experience is wonderful, beautiful, fantastic, glorious, and marvelous. You know what I mean? It's a great way to live. So now, when you think of your kids, when you think of your cousins, Dorothea,
yeah,
stop thinking of him as he can't reach the high notes. Dorothea. Think of him, he sings, at the age of 89, he sings beautifully, regardless. He is a fantastic man in the choir singing at that age, and that's beautiful, because, you see, we get older and we get better.
Oh, like the vine.
That's right. That's right. And this is exactly what is happening to your cousin. He's getting older and he's getting better. And this is happening to you, Dorothea. You're getting better with every moment you live because you have beautiful, positive attitudes about yourself and life. And you're a delight to be around. Do you know that?
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
you. And Ingeborg, do you...
Yes.
Yes, I would say so. Ingeborg fluffed her shoulders off as much as say, oh, now what are you going to throw at me? Ingeborg, you're a beautiful person. You're a gentle, loving person. You're a caring person. And this is what I see you as. This is what I see you doing all the time. And because of that, you're just enjoying life because you find all the magic in it all the time. And Sylvia, what do? Sylvia goes around that big, fat, shit-eating grin on her face, you know. And she acts as though she's a Cheshire cat and she's got some secrets that the rest of us don't know. And she's just bubbling over with happiness inside of her. Have you noticed that? She bubbles over with happiness, like she hides the bread pudding, you know, and then she eats it herself in the middle of the night when no one's around. Oh, she does things like that, because she loves it so. And is that bad?
No.
No. Because other people do that too, don't they? But you see, it's wonderful that we can be so unconditionally loving about all these things and be untouched. Now, Dorothea, she sits in front of the refrigerator and she cogitates on what's in the refrigerator. What should she have snacking on at 12:30 at night? And meanwhile, the refrigerator is melting, water is running over the floor, and she doesn't make up her mind. What she should do is she should take snapshots of the inside of the refrigerator and then look it over, and then when she goes, she knows right where to grab the goodies when she wants them. And, you know, be unconditionally loving of yourself as well as everybody else. Because that's what life's all about, and that's what the fun of living is all about. It's kind of nice. that's what we belong. That's what we deserve having for ourselves. And I think that each of you are ready for that, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.